Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love. I'm a little loud. I thank you for what you've done, what you're about to do, how, Father, that these people are such good soil. They prepared their hearts to listen to the word, believe it, receive it. Father, anoint my lips, keep me out of it, and Father, that they would learn and grow and know exactly what to do because they know what belongs to them because of the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I first came to church here about 1977, 78, something like that, I sat under a lot of good people, don't get me wrong. But the first pastor here was the real teaching pastor, and Bruce. And I heard this. Did you sit under? And so you heard this over and over and over and over and over again until it just got down in you. And then, you know, other pastors would have other kind of flavors. Is that okay to say? And then, so sometimes things can get duller in your mind. Do you know what I mean like that? You know it, but so I'm just going to keep watering this until it's so big in us. So today I'm going to start talking about a healing delayed. So if we're not experiencing the divine health, Christ paid for us on our behalf, we need to ask God for wisdom on what to do. A bit equally important is learning to stay in unwavering faith. We can't be like the wave of the sea that's constantly moving and changing. We must be anchored in God's healing promises and stay focused on them until you receive the manifestation of what you're believing for. It's God Himself. This is not like a doctrine. This is God Himself who made many amazing promises to us in His Word, including healing and divine health. Through Jesus, work of redemption on the cross. So let's look again at the 10 biblical ways to appropriate the healing and health Jesus purchased for us on the cross. Are you ready for that, Lauren? 1, renewing your mind to the truth. We talked about that one. 2, aligning your heart and mouth. We talked about that. Holding fast to your confession, hupomone. We talked about that one. Let patience do its work. Asking God for clarification. Did you not have all 10 of them? Okay. Staying in unwavering faith. Laying hands on the sick. Letting the gifts of healing and the working of miracles do their work. Taking communion to receive healings and calling for the elders to pray with the anointing oil to receive healing. Now, I want to say something before I get started on these. I'll go over all these points. I think I've done 4 because I'm looking at 5 here. So before I go over, I want to be clear about something. I want you to listen to me. This is not like 10 steps to wealth or 10 steps to sell your car or 10 steps. You know what I'm saying? Self-help steps. These 10 points are scriptures in the Word of God that concern what we can do and are to do. They are biblical ways to appropriate the healing and health of Jesus that Jesus provided and purchased for us on the cross. Instead of throwing up our hands and saying, "I have no idea what to do, I'm going to keep at this," and showing and giving us the word, our promises, and how to appropriate them. Remember, God doesn't want this to be hard. He doesn't. It's not like he's not giving a test when you're in third grade and it's a senior test. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not making it hard for us. We just haven't, not all of us have been taught. That's on pastors. Think of kids, think of it this way. Jerry and Patsy, my in-laws, were part of a group that started this church from the very beginning. And they started at ground zero. I mean, they just were like little sponges going around and hearing things and learning things because they came from different denominational churches. They didn't know this stuff. They got a whiff of it, and that's all they needed. The whiff was enough to walk away from their churches or get kicked out, whichever one happened, to start this church. Then they had, I'm just using my family. Then they already had Steph and Gavin. I didn't have Jane. But those, Steph and Gavin and Jane were raised in godly principles about healing. They started learning about healing. And it's not like they knew, they were still in that charismatic flow where it was just the healing movement was going through. I mean, they were just getting a hold of Hagen's stuff and all of that. And then Steph and Gavin, you know, they lived their life and they heard it. And then, so I'm going to stop talking about Stephanie because we know Steph. And it stuck. And so then Gavin and I got married, and I'm coming in. I'm a blank slate. And I just agreed with it. I'm doing Viola. If they said it, okay, show me, okay. And so Gavin knew what he knew, and I knew what we knew, and then we began living it and speaking it over ourselves. And then when we had kids, you know, that was just, I mean, I've told you example after example of us living our faith out with our kids. You know, Jake had a dislocated shoulder in a basketball game, and we took him. They said, take him to the, he's going to have the hospital. I mean, he still has a little bump there. Does he still have that bump on his shoulder? And we took him out in the mezzanine and said, okay, here's one of two things. We'll take you to the hospital, and you'll do that, and it's going to knock you out for a while praying. I said, or we'll sit here and we'll pray, and we'll believe that God heals it right here and now. But we said, it's your decision, because you always got to give older kids like that decision. You know, you can't just say, you're not going, you know what I'm saying? He said, pray, Mama. Now, I can do this with Lauren. I can do it. She's got a softball story. Amen, Lauren? And each one, I can do it. Same thing. He said, pray. We prayed. He missed one game because Coach made him. So my point is, so they're pretty strong. They're stronger than what the generations below them were. Think about what my grandkids are going to be. You see what I'm saying? We're building a fortified army in the word of God, and so are you. So look at your generation. So are you. So we just keep telling them and teaching them. I'm getting off here. Sorry about that. But so number five is asking God for clarification. Now, if you ask me, this is a real biggie right here. Let me tell you, in the first century, many Christians were dispersed throughout the Roman Empire because of persecution. James is the half-brother of Jesus and the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And he wrote these to worn-out saints who were struggling to hold on to their faith in the midst of multiple challenges. In other words, they were just worn thin. Anybody relate? James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He's saying something like this. I want you to listen to this. Friends, there are some things that your pastor and your prayer warriors cannot answer. They can't see the things that don't seem to be working in your life. If you're looking for an answer, ask God. Ask God. If you've been believing God for healing and you're done all the steps that we've covered, but you're not seeing the manifestation, it's very important that you pause and ask God for clarification. That's what James wrote to tell us. Ask your dad. I've been here. I've been here where the things lingered. I've done all I know to do and had to cry out and ask, what am I missing here, Father? Now, anybody just kind of amen? Yeah, anybody? Okay, thanks. So lack in this verse depicts one who is in need, one who has an insufficiency of some type. That could be anything. That could be anything. It was a word used by ancient writers to depict a scenario in which a traveler finds himself on a journey. But when he realized something crucial for the trip was left behind, this missing item is essential to the journey, and its absence could make the difference between reaching the destination or not. It's that important. That's the example that they used. So let's say you're believing for the healing provided through Jesus, redemption. But it's obvious you're lacking something because you still haven't seen the manifestation of it. In other words, you're still sick, symptoms still there. If you don't know what you're lacking, if you don't know what to do anymore, you won't be able to receive it, and you may not experience the healing and health that you want. So what do we lack? Wisdom. It's insight or understanding. And James says, if you lack answers and insight about why these principles are not working for you, ask of God. Ask means to petition or to request. A petition, if I were to break that down, which I am not going to do, it's almost a legal term. You know, you bring your petition before the court, that sort of thing. So get this. So it means to do the petition and to request always with expectation to receive what is being sought rather than just, I hope so. My hope's good, but you know. If you, the request for wisdom, that is asking God for direction with a full expectation, if you ask. You can't go asking God and think, I can't pray for people. And then they go, no, can't do it. It just doesn't work. He is going to answer you. Okay? God will answer you. James said to ask of God, the word of means alongside. It pictures coming right alongside the heart of God to find the answers that person needs. Once in that position, walking side by side, step by step with Jesus, he is told to make his heartfelt request. Now, don't make this difficult. Don't make, don't do that. I mean, I don't know how you communicate with the Lord. I mean, I know how I do it, and how I do it is how I do it. Okay? You have your own personal relationship. So whether your time with the Lord is driving to work or if it's all day long, whatever, just say, Father, what am I doing here? What's wrong? What do I need? The Bible says to ask of you. So I'm expecting you to tell me what to do. Don't make this difficult. Okay? You've already given him your heart. You have him inside of you. Just talk to him. That's the intimacy that we talk about. He really wants that with each of us. So if we use the original Greek meaning, it looks like this. Lauren, you have that RIV thing? Okay, I can read it up here. Just listen to me. But if, as I'm sure is actually the case, there is anyone among you who lacks insight about why these principles aren't already working, my advice is that you draw near to the side of the giving God to ask your questions with the full expectation of any answer from the one who always generously responds with an open hand to every person who comes to him. And when you come to him with your questions, he will not berate. He will not reprimand. He will not scold you for asking the questions you put before him. For answers are always generously given to the person who draws near to God to find them. We don't have to be afraid. Okay. So if you're believing God for healing but have not yet received it and don't know why it is being delayed, James just says, again, ask of God. In other words, come right alongside him as you do, and he will answer you with an open hand. So God is not holding out on us. He is just waiting for us to draw near and come alongside his heart. If we will just say, Lord, I need wisdom and answers. So please show me what to do. God will open his hand and show us what we need to know and how to speed up the process. Amen to that. So that we can step into the promises of his heart. This is just a little example. And I've told this so many times, I know you guys can tell it. But it's just an easy, quick one. I told you my mama, when she was here, God bless her, we would shop all the time, like Lauren and I do. And we'd go, and I'd get tea, and I'd get that pink sweetener. Now, this is my story. You may be able to do this all you want. This is my story. And we'd have a good time, and I'd start getting these migraine headaches, and I'd go to bed. This happened. I can't tell you. And I know I'm supposed to be healed. I know that Jesus paid for my healing, and I'm supposed to walk in it. So I said, God, what is wrong? What am I doing wrong? Stop using the pink stuff. That was it. That was it. Stopped. Never experienced it again. The only time, I tell you what, the only time I put any of that stuff in my water is when I was with Kenzie. We went out for her birthday, and we got that blackberry or what, strawberry tea, whatever it was. And I thought, I'll try that, Splenda. I no headaches, but it wasn't the pink stuff. I wouldn't touch it. I mean, for me, that's me. That God didn't say that to you. He said that to me. So, okay, we just ask him. Believe you receive. He'll tell you, okay? Don't make it hard. Don't make God's stuff hard. So, number 6, staying in unwavering faith. James, can I just say something else about the other one? I kind of hate this, but let me just say this. Sometimes people will think that the faith message is, don't go to the doctors, don't go to the doctors, don't do that. That's not faith. You're just... Now, we've got to get that out of our head. Everybody say amen. There are times to go, and there's times probably when we shouldn't go. You know, they can get a little carried away with some things, you know. Sometimes God will use medicine to help heal you, okay? Sometimes God will use doctors. So our job is make sure we go to a good one and make sure when we pop them little pills that's supposed to help us that we speak over them. And then... But don't suffer and not go, okay? Does everybody understand? Don't ever go out of here and think that I have told you not to go to a doctor. I think I've made that pretty clear, but I just want to reiterate that. And sometimes when people don't ask God, they don't make it, okay? Okay, staying in unwavering faith. James goes on in that verse to say, we're still in the same verse, stay in unwavering faith. What Jesus paid for on the cross, the redemptive work, including healing, belongs to us. We know that. Spiritually speaking, it's in the bank. It's in the bank. Just waiting for us to draw it out. Draw it out. But we must stay in unwavering faith. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. The first requirement to receiving anything from God is to ask. When we ask, we are petitioning or requesting, always with the expectation to receive what you're asking for. So ask means be specific, full expectation of believing, you will receive what you're asking for. Don't just ask and forget about it. Don't just ask and say, see, don't do that. Be specific. If you know, we've said this before. If you're believing for a husband, you want him tall, fat, short, skinny, bald, or hairy? Green eyes, blue eyes, brown eyes? Blind. You know, I don't know. Just write it down what you're believing for. Christian first, okay? Please, please be that way. When we ask, we're petitioning or requesting, okay? So when we ask in faith, it's not back and forth. Up one day, down the next. Or indecisive. It is rock solid and absolute confidence. God wants us to ask for things we need in rock solid confidence, because what we are asking for is founded on the promises of His Word, and God is a promise keeper. Hang on, let me look here. I have this little thing I was going to do, but I'll wait and see. James goes on. No, come up here. Tammy, come here. So. Hold that. Tammy is playing like God. I didn't say you were God. Tammy is playing God. God's cute. I guess I should have got, well, it doesn't matter. Should have gone Alan. But anyway, he probably would have come. But anyway, I'm believing for something. There's a bracelet in there. And I have been believing for this specific bracelet. Thank you, God, for that. I don't think I'm ever going to get that bracelet. You got the bracelet. God's got the bracelet. I need that bracelet for someplace I'm going to. I'd really like it. I'm going to go to God. God, please give me a bracelet. Please, God, please, God, please, God, please, God. It's been too long. God's not going to give me the bracelet. God's not a bracelet giver. It's not in His promises. It's not just because I need it doesn't mean just because I want it, I can't have it. And I give you scripture for that, that you can have it. And I just go on, and he's trying his best to give it to me. I mean, I'm right there. Just forget it. Just forget it. It's not going to happen. That's wavering. That's wavering. Now, if I kept saying, I believe, I receive, I have that, I want it, I have it, it's mine, God will give it to me in due time, I know it, He won't be too late, He won't be too soon. See? That's yours. Yeah, put them in up here. See, out. Okay. So, we don't want to be like the sea. We don't want to waver. I've been on a cruise ship on the tail end of a hurricane, and it is not. There is a lot of throwing up that goes on. Waves look very powerful and impressive as they build in size and momentum, but just about the time that they peak, they tumble. That's what he said. We don't want to be like those waves and fall back into the sea. Waves are always on the move and impossible to capture. By comparing a man who is wavering in faith is with a wave of the sea, God is giving us a complete picture of what faith is not. Wavering is not faith. Real faith does not have to behave like a wave. Real faith stands still in unwavering and is rock solid. But a person that's not in faith is constantly on the move. He prays for one thing and believes it for a little while, but then doubt overtakes him, so he changes his mind shortly thereafter and begins praying for something else. Let me be totally clear. Now listen. The enemy will always whisper doubts in your ear, in your head. What is the head? It's the battlefield. But him whispering doubts and you telling him to shut up is not wavering. Okay? When the doubts kind of, you think, well, what it, no, 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 shut up, shut up, shut up. That is not wavering when the doubts come. Because that's the only access the enemy has to you is right here. This is not being double-minded. Don't feel guilty. Guilt isn't from God. You're not changing your words. Your belief in God's word, his promises, the enemy is just trying to mess with you. You see the difference? It's when you start talking and believing different and all that. That's wavering. So, James said to anyone who is like a wave of the sea when it comes to faith, this, James 1:7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For not let that man think. It means this. That person whose faith is back and forth and back and forth, up and down and all around in what he believes or asks, thinks or assumes wrongly, imagine or wrongly suppose will receive anything. He's not going, he may think he's going to, but don't even think it. Although the person lives in a state of indecision, he has somehow convinced himself that he will receive what he asked for from the Lord. But what he asked of the Lord is not clear because he can't make up his mind about what he is asking. You understand? It could be like this. You know, when we pray for people, when you pray for people, you'll hear me or you'll hear you guys say, what is it you're believing for? What do you believe? Because if I get out here in this, unless like what God told me in ministry, but if I get out here and believe, oh, I'm going to believe, and you're going, oh, I'm not even wanting that. You see what I'm saying? Or I can't believe for that. So we have to be specific. And when we, okay. A person who wavers, don't get it in your head. Their head, that they're going to receive anything from God. Example, if you're believing for healing and if you have a good day, it appears faith is working. You're all excited. You call your friends. Oh, man, I tell you what, I got healed. It's working. It's working. Bam. You wake up the next day and it seems like the symptoms wake up also. You start questioning the healing work of Jesus. Maybe it doesn't really work. I was so sure. And now I heard again. You have a day of indecision. The next day, better day. Well, maybe it does work after all. It's better today. Oh, I don't really know anymore. Good days, bad days. You guys see what I'm saying here? The waves? All that stuff Terry teaches, she just doesn't know what I'm going through. You are correct. I do not. But there are scriptures from his holy word, not from me. I've been there, done it. I have wavered in the past. I have. But I've righted the ship. And so thoughts will come, but don't stay off your confession. I also learned to stand, come hell or high water. And his word works when you know what to do. Hang on just a second. I think I wrote this down here. Oh, yeah. Hang on. By God's grace, you can learn to stand in faith, rooted in his promises and convinced to your core that you are not moving or letting go of what he said in his word until you receive what Jesus has already given you through the stripes that he bore on his back on our behalf. The word receives depicts one who graciously receives something that should be freely and easily given, just like I did with him. James said that anyone who constantly hesitates with their faith should not imagine, presume, or think they will receive anything from God. Now, I'm going to give you a little example, and you're going to think of this. The Lord told me to show you this, so don't laugh. Okay, I know Joy doesn't much like these things. So, here's God, and here's us. Now, this is where God wants us, right? But when we get to wavering, you see what I'm saying? I can't hit that. I just want you to know. Oh, But the ball's just going up and down, round and round. Your faith is just everywhere. And God's saying, where you at? What are you believing for? I can't catch you. You see what I'm saying? Now, hang on. Just for. See, I can do that. But, Study found this in my purse and got it. I said, God. He couldn't understand Pups was going to use that for church. But with that ball can be like our faith. It can be here. It can be there. And God's still standing still. In other words, the person who can't make up his mind about what he asks, believes, or confesses, who is up one day, down the next day. You guys know people like that? And flipping back and forth with his faith, is unable, James said, to receive anything from the Lord. Anything describes the smallest and most minute detail. Its use here means an indecision. An indecisive person cannot receive anything. Not because God doesn't want to bless us, because he's a blesser, but because this person doesn't stay in one place long enough to be blessed. It's hard to hit a moving target. So here is the original Greek meaning of James 1:7. For let not that man who can't make up his mind about what he asks or believes wrongly think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. In fact, he can rule it out. So if we are going to receive healing, and this can mean anything, finances, joy, peace, anything like that. But if we're going to receive healing and live in the state of divine health, and that's the best, that's what God wants us to. Set your mind on divine health, not get sick once every 3 weeks and have to believe for healing, okay? Divine health's our goal. We have been believing for, that Jesus paid for. We have got to stand our ground in faith for healing or anything else. Now the same principle goes, whatever. It's the whatevers we ask for. We can't let a bad report or someone's well-meaning but misguided words pull your faith this way or out. Have you ever had something and you tell someone about it and they say, you know, I knew old so-and-so, Granny Fanny, and she died of that. And these are the symptoms she had along the way. They're just pulling poison in your mind. You have to really guard that. We have to put on mental and emotional blinders to words of doubt and unbelief, not listen to any of that, and stay rooted in God's word, determined in your heart. I not moving. Now, let me tell you what. Someone calls you, do not give them negative advice. Don't do it. You don't be one of those people that hurts someone's faith. Don't do it. You may think, oh my God, can you really heal them of this? But you be on the positive side. If you don't know what to say, you say the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, what to say? I told you, I got stuff. But don't be critical of someone's going through something and just add fuel to the fire and send them onto their death. Don't do that. I don't care if they're laying there in the deathbed. You begin to call them healed and whole. I'm going to do that. I don't care what they look like. I'm going to speak God's word over them until they're in heaven enjoying themselves and I'm down here having to deal with everything. But I'm going to speak God's word. And you know, when I get up there, I'm hoping Paul said, boy, you never let go of that word, did you? No, I didn't. You're going to be the same way. So don't become a moving target. They're hard to hit. Learn to stand firm on God's promises. It's absolutely the key to receiving what he wants to bless you with. Focus on him. Stay the course and he will honor your faith. And I'll close with this. I forgot to tell you this story last week about Jesse Duplantis when he had saw Paul and talked to him. And so he said, you know, I told you, he told Paul, he said, I forgot those books again. He said, if you were down on earth, he said, you could get me for infringement rights. He said, I preach your stuff all the time. He said, will you tell them something, Jesse? He said, yes, I will. He said, you know the scripture that says And I looked it up for you. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I'm going to read it to you again. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He said Christians have taken that and they have made it a lifetime. He said, will you go back and teach it? It's just for a moment. God doesn't want his suffering people. He's not harsh. He's not mean. People have taken the word. Pastors have taken the word. I mean, big time. I mean, I'm talking about way back. And they've made religions out of suffering. And they've made religions out of... There is suffering for the Lord. There is. I mean, there's a lot of places you go, you talk about him, you may die. We're not necessarily there, but I can tell you places where that's at. Iran is one of them. And there is things. But God doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us lacking. He doesn't want us barely getting by. He doesn't want us to be in line at Walmart wondering if we'll be able to pay our bill when we're supposed to be helping that widow behind us with so many children who can't. When I talk about finances, that's what I'm talking about. That you've got so much, you just say, I'm getting hers too. Has anybody ever gone through and paid forward or backward, however that works? Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun? Well, let's just do that on a big scale. How about if we start paying off people's houses? Wouldn't that be something? What if someone pulls in here into a clunker and we say, I want to introduce you to Tammy. Her husband sells cars. Go pick out one and we'll take care of it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, now there's nothing wrong with this and I love doing it. I'm not talking about sending someone home with a sack of groceries. Pay their rent for 6 months. A year. Find them a home. That's the process. That God doesn't, and see, when he was saying that, people make a religion out of not having because you're humble, but you sure can't help your brother. Okay. Lauren, do you have any questions? Am I confusing anybody? Now I'm going to tell you this because I heard it the other day and I got corrected.